Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded at our online reflective prayer, which takes place each Monday and Wednesday at 9:15. The full recording can be found on our Facebook page. Today, our reflection is from our curate, the Reverend David Wilkie, entitled The All-Powerful Jesus. He is our hope.
So let's say Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, therefore can I lack nothing.
He makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside still waters.
He shall refresh my soul and guide me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake.
Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
You spread a table before me in the presence of those who trouble me. You have anointed my head with oil, and my cup shall be full.
Surely goodness and loving mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Now it's Daniel 5. I was just going to give you a very brief summary of it, because it's quite long. And so here Daniel is, he's exiled in Babylon, and the king, he's brought before the king, and he's got an interpretation to give, and he doesn't really want to give it because it's bad news. And he's like, oh, this is going to be hard. But then he's like, you know, say it anyway. And he's like, okay. So he interprets this. He interprets the writing. And it's Mem Tekel Parson. The interpretation of this matter is God has numbered the days of your kingdom and brought it to an end, which is a hard message to give. You've been weighed on the scales and found wanting. And Perez, your kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. But then he clothed Daniel in purple, a chain of gold around his neck. Then that very night he was killed. And so I don't know what it must have been like for Daniel to be in that position where he has to give an interpretation and it's a bad one. And then the king dies that night. And you're like, gosh, he's risked his life to tell the truth, really, to tell what God was saying. Now let's go to Revelation.
When I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding back the four winds, so that they did not blow on the earth, or the sea, or even on any trees. And I saw another angel coming out from the east, carrying the seal of the living God. And he shouted to those four angels who had been given power to harm land and sea, wait, don't harm the land or the sea or the trees until we have placed the seal of God on the foreheads of his servants. And I heard how many were marked with the seal of God. 144,000 were sealed from all the tribes of Israel. After this, I saw a vast crowd, so great to count, from every nation and tribe, the people and language, standing in front of the throne and before the Lamb. They were clothed in white robes and held palm branches in their hands. And they were shouting with a great roar, salvation comes from our God who sits on the throne and from the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living beings. And they fell before the throne with their faces to the ground and worshiped God. And they sang, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and strength belong to our God forever and ever. Amen. Then one of the 24 elders asked me, who are these who are clothed in white? Where did they come from? And I said to him, sir, you are the one who knows. Then he said to me, these are the ones who have died in the great tribulation. They have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb and made them white. That is why they stand in front of God's throne and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will give them shelter. They will never again be hungry or thirsty. They will never be scorched by the heat of the sun. For the Lamb on the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of life, giving water, and God will wipe every tear from their eyes. This is the word of the Lord.
So looking at all three passages, the psalm, he leads me beside quiet waters. And in here, in Revelations, he'll guide them to springs of the water of life. And then in the Old Testament with Daniel, it must have felt like, you know, where is the life for us now? We're in exile, we're under oppression, and yet God is still speaking through him and using him, and eventually, you know, giving them hope for a future. And so a few things jumped out at me this morning. One was this word. So Leslie read from the NLT. It says great tribulation. And this says great ordeal. Another translation says the great suffering. And it's so often when I've read the Bible, there's a few things that don't always match up with my life. And I think if I was in a different context, a different living at a different time, it might. I might hold on to these verses a lot more than I have, if I'm honest with you. And this idea, the great suffering, the great ordeal, the great tribulation, isn't something I don't feel like I've encountered in my life. I've had hard things happen. I've suffered with grief and those things, but not the kind of things that I've seen on TV, so famine or war, this war in Ukraine, and or genocide that happens in across the world, and the great migration of immigrants seeking refuge in safe places. There's millions of people displaced from climate change. It's all this kind of stuff that's going on in the world today. And here I am sitting in my comfortable study with some heating that was on this morning. And I think, yo, how does this, what am I taking from this? And it's to remind me actually that these scriptures are written for people who are about to come under a great persecution. They're new Christians, and the Roman Empire is about to persecute them. And John is warning them of the fact that that is coming, and it's to give them hope. So after you've been through the great ordeal, and many people will be killed, you'll be in heaven with God. And this kind of like prophetic language, this idea of the future, is that it's, you know, because of my context, it's often not sat with me. So I get on really well with Jesus being like the social worker, like the person who can feed the hungry, feeding the 5,000, meeting with the tax collectors, prostitutes, you know, raising their eyes to heaven, actually giving them value and all that stuff. That kind of the gospel, the good news, really impacts me, and I see it in work around me. I think if I was in a war zone, I would be hanging on to these kind of scriptures, because under great persecution, you need a hope for a future. You need to know that this isn't a hopeless fight that we're in. And actually, when I think about it, in climate change stuff, sometimes it just feels so hopeless. Like, where is the hope? Are there anything going to come from COP27 this time? I really hope so. But a lot of the time, I just feel a bit hopeless about it. And then we have this image of actually at the end, those that have suffered will be gathered around God, will be gathered, and they'll be praising God and thanking him, and, you know, knowing, you know, yeah, giving him all honor and glory. Because often if you've been through persecution, you've been through hard times, I'm not sure if you'd want to give thanks. You know, what do you feel thankful for? And that is an incredible image there of them giving thanksgiving and honor. There's another thing I want to talk about, was this idea of power. So I get on well with the Jesus who is so at the Passover, he's reached the end of his journey. He's coming to Jerusalem. He's for the disciples, this is the moment. All the symbology, all everything that's coming together, they want a savior who's going to topple the Roman Empire, who's going to, you know, release them, unite all the Jews together. It's going to free Israel like in Exodus. Something amazing is going to happen. And instead, he sits them around a table. He breaks bread and wine and kind of explains what's going to happen through this symbology of breaking the bread as the body and pouring out his blood. And he gets on his knees, he wraps a towel around his waist, and he washes their feet. And this idea of, like, Christ has all the power in the world. And we see that in Revelation. It keeps talking about, you know, he's all power and might. And all this symbology of the two-edged sword coming out of his mouth and like all this grand imagery, it reminds us that actually Christ has all this power in him. So much. He could change things. He's been there since creation. And yet he decides to wash the disciples' feet. And that's incredible. Often that's sat in two different poles. And like, I've struggled to get this image of this all-powerful God matched up with this image of Jesus. And yet there is nothing. There is nothing like that separates that. It actually blends together really well. If you have a God who's like this oppressor, this king up there who just does commands and is far off, then often Revelation will match that. But actually, if you look at Jesus and read Revelations through his lens, then actually the way of power, the way that we're called to be, use God's power, is through serving. It's through getting on our knees and washing the feet and caring for those that are suffering, that are those that are going through the great ordeal. And that might end up with us being in it as well. So there's two things that struck me this morning: this idea of power and how we use God's power that is in us, and also the what do I do about all the suffering I see around the world, and do I take passages like Revelation serious enough? That's what I thought about reading this, but yeah, a few thoughts. So let's pray for those that are suffering as we head towards Remembrance Day. It's a good time to think about the conflicts around the world and the sacrifice that has been made. Also those that need help in our country today that are hidden from us. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you for your example. You have all the power, and yet you wash the disciples' feet. You had all the power, and yet you went to the cross and died for our sins. In some ways, it looked like you were powerless, but you are the one with all the power. And even in your most powerless position, when you're in front of Pilate and he's casting judgment over you, Jesus, you were able to then say, "Yo, I'm King of the Jews." you had, and you still have all the power of this world. So, Lord, would you help us to see that? Would you help us to plug into that? God, would you help your church to serve and to hold your power lightly, like not just through political structures or the ways that have gone by, but know that you have all the power in the world, and therefore we will give sacrificially and we will serve. And Jesus, we ask you to lead those who are suffering today, who feel like they're going through a great ordeal, and those that are going through a great ordeal in times of war and flooding, all the suffering that is happening, Lord, would you lead them beside quiet waters? Would you bring them to the spring of life? Help them to find green pastures, Lord. And Lord, I confess this morning when I hold too much of what you've given me close instead of giving it away and helping others. Lord, I pray for a hope for a future where you'll wipe every tear from our eyes. The reality we see around us is not just the reality that exists, but Lord, would you open our eyes to your heavenly reality of what is happening, God? Shine your light in the darkest of places today.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website, www.stjamestaunton.co.uk, and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.